Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, Janice Wolf. Today we are going to be discussing some wonderful, important aspects of how to train your dog to become a service or therapy dog. Today we're going to be discussing the amazing options available through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids for dogs who used to be shelter dogs and are now incredibly helping special needs children to trust, to learn, and to prevent meltdowns. So we're going to start out today with talking about one of our most successful of all rescue dogs, little Lexi. Lexi is a rescue from Arizona. Lexi is probably everybody out there listening. If you think of the breed of dog that you have or the mix of breeds that you have, Lexi is a mix of some of your breeds with your neighbor's breeds, with Rhodesian Ridgebacks, with Labs, with Goldens, with maybe a Shiba Inu. We have no idea what she is, but she is 22 pounds of amazing love and amazing ability to please children and to entertain them and to teach them. So what we are doing right now this summer is we've implemented some wonderful programs all around the country, and we're doing some outside the country as well. And one of the most amazing programs we're doing is working with special needs children, including children with autism and children with different developmental delays. And it's amazing to see how these children who can't self-regulate at all and have no clue whatsoever how to react and how to respond with adults or with typical children and sometimes just have meltdowns all day long are responding to our amazing service dogs. And these are not just a therapy dog. They're not a dog that somebody kept for a week or two and claims to train into a service dog. These are highly trained and highly skilled service dogs that are able to detect cortisol levels, able to detect stress hormones in the children, and also that these dogs are amazing because they're able to do it without being told constantly what to do. One of my pet peeves, and everybody who listens every week, and I know we have people from all over the country, all over the world. I know we have people in New Jersey and New York and Pennsylvania and Connecticut and California and Arizona and Missouri and Kansas and Texas and all over the place. We have all these people who are listening so they can learn, how it's really, really done. And it's important for people to know there are a lot of different options for people and for dogs. If you have a dog and you decide that you want to take that dog and you want to bring him into hospital, but the dog is afraid of wheelchairs or slippery surfaces, probably not a great idea. Now, can you fix it? Of course you can. You can pretend or you can hope. And you can fix a lot. I mean, certainly I can fix pretty much anything. But let's not talk about dragging a dog into a place that it's not comfortable. Let's talk about finding the right situation for each dog. That's a much better option than taking something that's afraid and trying to work with it in every single area to make sure that the dog is no longer afraid. So let's talk about little Lexi. Little Lexi. The dog who I think I've had, other than perhaps Wyatt, I think I've had more people offer and offer me even to buy her from me because she's an amazing little dog. I've had people who were just ready to steal her from me along with other things. So I'm really not looking to get rid of Lexi, but Lexi instead of being working with just one child, she's able to work with multiple children. The same way Wyatt and Savannah and so many of my other dogs are able to do. Now, important to understand that when I got Lexi, Lexi was extremely fearful. She may have been abused or beaten. I'm not sure. I try not, obviously, to think about that. But it doesn't matter because she is living with me and she has the best life ever. She gets to go with me pretty much on an almost a daily basis. Well, yesterday we were working at one of our special needs schools in New Jersey, where we have about 90 special needs children. And, of course, we had Savannah, we had Lexi, we had another dog that works there as well. And we've had, oh, gosh, six or seven of my different Ridgebacks and some of my mixes, including we're going to be taking Cleo the Beagle, and she's wonderful as well. So these little mixed breed dogs can really be wonderful if we don't coddle them into becoming those miserable little barky, yappy, nippy, growling dogs that we all tend to see. You've got to treat the little dog the same as you would treat a large dog. Now take Wyatt, for example. He's over 100 pounds. If Wyatt jumped on you, and not that he would because he's Wyatt and my dogs don't jump on anyone, but if he were to jump on you, let's just say, and you're even a big guy, well, 100 and something pound big gigantic Rhodesian Ridgeback, as gentle and sweet as he is, could probably knock you over. And certainly if you weren't a mature adult male, the dog could probably knock you over. So we definitely don't want to reward a dog for jumping on anybody, because if we allow them to jump, we're rewarding what is a dominant behavior. See, dogs don't think like we do. We're human. Like I always joke, men and women are almost the same species, and we can't understand each other. It's so, so important to understand why dogs do what they do. And it's not something that you learn from a person. It's something you learn from 30 years of breeding, showing, training, rescuing dogs. And I've got the background with horses, and let me tell you something. You mess up with a dog, you get bitten. You mess up with a horse, you get killed. So it really does make, and I'm not talking about people who have like one horse and it's your baby, because I've certainly been there and had my one horse and she was my baby. But I'm talking about like how I used to have a big thoroughbred farm, and I bred thoroughbreds until I stopped breeding them because I realized that the trainers would break them down and just say, oh, okay, let's build a stall with another one. And that's not how I thought of them. I thought of them as all my babies. But when you're walking, you know, two gigantic 1,000-pound horses or larger even, and there's a crackle of thunder or lightning that goes overhead, you have to know where to be and where not to be and how to make that animal, whether it's a horse or a dog, not react to it. If you're calm, confident, in control, then the dog or the horse or whatever animal will also feel your energy, feel how calm and in control you are, and it will not challenge you. Now, if it does, certainly there are dogs and horses and other animals who will challenge. That's caused by dominance. But that doesn't mean that that's the way it always has to be. And if you've ever had a dog like my little Lexi, who we're going to be talking about in the next segment, you'll know that even your energy from moment to moment or day to day can affect the way the dog behaves. So if you have the best dog in the world, you have a Wyatt, a Wisp, a Savannah, a Sedona, a Romeo, a Bisbee, you have any of these amazing dogs. No, my dogs will not change if you change for a day or a week or a month. But any good dog like them should step up to the plate in case there's an emergency, in case there's a need for them to do that. So we're going to talk about little Lexi and about our amazing in-school service dog program that is offered exclusively through United Canine Professionals and Merlin's Kids. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And today we're talking about service dogs in school and amazing dogs that can do incredible things even though their lives may not have started out right. Boy, oh boy, are they out there and doing incredible things. Well, some of you know little Lexi, and certainly many, if not most of my clients the last couple of years have met Lexi and all my, or a few of at least, my Rhodesian Ridgebacks and my rescue dogs. Well, little Lexi has an amazing story. She is a true shelter dog to service dog. Lexi was abandoned and was found on the street in Arizona. And a woman had contacted me from a rescue. And I get a lot of dogs from Texas, from the Midwest, Missouri, Kansas, where there are a lot of puppy mills. We get tons and tons of dogs from Georgia, Louisiana, the Carolinas. That's where most of our dogs come from. Well, little Lexi happened to be from out there, and we found out about her, and she was actually reported to us as being a Rhodesian Ridgeback mix. Well, we look for Rhodesian Ridgeback mixes because that's one of the breeds that we love dearly, not just because I've been a breeder for 29 years, but because they really are wonderful with children. They're very, very intelligent, and they're wonderful as service dogs because they're not hyper typically, and except for the liver nose. Sometimes those with the lighter nose have kind of more of a knucklehead personality like a yellow lab or a golden that takes a little longer to grow up, but still great dogs. So little Lexi was reported to be a Rhodesian Ridgeback mix. So I brought her out here, and, well, long story short, little Lexi ended up being a Rhodesian Ridgeback mix and probably a Shiba Inu mix and probably a Min Pin mix, maybe a Chihuahua mix, and maybe a, who knows, an Italian Mastiff mix. I don't know what's in Lexi. But she's got a little ridge on the back of her neck, and she's just delicious. So little Lexi is able to basically get through to children who are not communicative, children who sometimes are even flight risks, kids who are not interested in speaking or looking at with giving eye contact or really being involved in the world around them. And this, as many of you know, children with developed mental delays and disorders and kids who are on the autism spectrum tend to have a lot of developmental issues. Well, one of them is that a lot of times kids just can't, look into another person's eyes. That's a very, very common sign, as well as very often children walking on their tiptoes for a long time. And we're not talking about they're playing like that, but children who regularly locomote using their toes as their tools of their feet instead of walking more of a flat-footed as you would expect to have a child. So those are definitely things that are very, very important. Now, one of the problems is if you have a child who will not look and give you eye contact, because you're judgmental, and some adults are incredibly judgmental. They could be egotistical, narcissists, but kids aren't like that. Kids are pure. Kids and animals are the purest of the pure because they're not looking to have some agenda or some vendetta against somebody and follow people around for years and make their lives miserable. And we all know somebody like that. There are people out there who are just so hung up on themselves that they don't even think about other people. Well, dogs aren't like that, and that's why dogs can communicate and animals can communicate. I've been doing therapeutic riding, which I've been calling it animal adaptive behavior therapy, using horses, dogs, even rabbits, with children with special needs. And I've been doing that for many, many, many years. I'm talking longer, way longer than I've even been breeding Rhodesian Ridgebacks. So I've been really familiar with the power that animals have. And even as much as 7 or 8, 9 years ago, I remember being interviewed for a big TV show, national TV show, and they asked me, why did I feel that these dogs were so incredibly able to communicate with children without being, you know, the children being shut down at all? Why is it that you can look at a child and ask a question, and then you can have that dog looking at the child, and the child will actually say, look at me, I'm talking to you, where the child didn't even have a rough concept of, you know, eye contact and why it is important to look at people sometimes when they're, you know, when they're out there and you're trying to communicate. It's just eye contact is a basic form of communication. Well, I answered it in two parts, and I said, you know, sometimes it, you know, medicine doesn't look like a, you know, like come out of a bottle. Sometimes medicine doesn't come from a bottle at all. Sometimes it looks like a dog. And I've seen that all over, and people are, you know, always quick to take brilliant ideas of other people. But I don't mind that because I've got a lot more brilliant ideas out there, and I want people to understand. I want people to take my information. I'm not worried about anybody, you know, taking something that I've created. Because if somebody can take something that I create and then can move forward with it and make it even better, well, that's great. That's how together we can help save the world, two lives at a time. And that's been my mantra for 25 years, saving the world, two lives at a time. That's why I trademarked that phrase. But I don't mind giving some information out, and I love it, as a matter of fact. We've got nearly 150 people around the country, plus I don't even know how many outside this country in Europe and Asia and Australia and South America and Canada who I've trained to do this, who have actually been able to teach how to do what I do. Now, why is it so important what we do? Because every single place that we are able to communicate with and help those children is another place that can allow us to rescue another dog. And we take dogs. Now it's very common, but I've been doing this for 30-some-odd years, taking shelter and rescue dogs, rehabilitating them, and then training them to become service dogs for kids with autism and other special needs, and veterans. We've been doing this for probably as long or longer than anybody else in the country. And it's very important that it be done right. I've got so many clients that come to me and they say, oh, I want to get my dog service dog certified. And I'll say, well, what do you need the dog for? Oh, well, I don't really need the dog. I just want to take the dog on planes with me, or I want to take the dog into restaurants with me. And I do go on a pretty good tirade, as some people have heard me do. And the reason I do it is because it doesn't take a year or 6 months or 2 years to learn how to do this. It takes a lifetime. And just saying that you know how to do something is quite different than actually being able to do it. Well, little Lexi has quite a story, and it shows how I was able to take this very, very fearful dog who was really afraid of loud noises, afraid of children, afraid of adults in general, afraid of any kind of shiny things, round things, moving things, and take this amazing little dog and turn her into the best service dog ever. So we're going to talk about Lexi, We call her Lexapro because she makes everyone happy. And call her Tyrannosaurus Lex, L-E-X, or T-Lex because of her joy of life. And I love feeling like a teenager, and it's the greatest compliment anyone could ever pay me. And we're going to talk about Lexi and what we do with her in just a moment. So stay tuned.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And of course, I wouldn't have a complete show without an amazing shout out to the inimitable, incredible future Dr. Jody Joseph, who is, I think, my most loyal fan and most loyal adopted daughter. She's just an incredible young lady, and we have just an amazing team at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. It's just such a blessing to have people who are so positive and forward-thinking and who don't focus on the past and try to give people a hard time, but really try to move forward and make things better for the people that come after us. So it's really a fun thing. Now, we're talking about Lexi. This is Lexi's segment coming up here because I want everyone to understand Lexi started as such an incredibly fearful dog, and it was sad to see this adorable little 22-pound little amazing creature who probably has some pug and beagle and a little bit of something else in her. God knows what's in her, but she is the sweetest little thing on the planet. I took her in yesterday with Savannah, who is not quite 2 years old yet, and little Lexi, who's 3, and Savannah, who's 2, came with me, and we worked at an amazing special needs school where we've implemented not only an in-school service dog, the only company in the world who implements dogs and trains dogs in the way we do at United Canine Professionals and at Merlin's Kids. This is not training a dog to sit and giving it a cookie. Nothing wrong with that for those of you who love obedience. It's fun. Wyatt's brother, I believe, is right now number one obedience-trained Ridgeback in the country, so I'm very proud of Dillinger. But honestly, if we get out of our dog's way and we just allow them to be who they are with just setting gentle rules as we go, the dogs are going to be the best dogs in the world. For instance, little Lexi. Lexi started out her life in a not-so-great environment. She was abandoned. We don't know what happened to her. We don't want to know what happened to her. And it definitely took a few months for her to really come out of it. You can say you can do it immediately with every dog, but when you think you know everything, it really proves that you know nothing. So if you think you can do any dog in the exact same way as you would do any other dog, that already tells me that you're flawed in your logic and in probably in your overconfidence of who you think you are. You can try to do anything that you want, but the question is, if that dog does not trust, if that dog has never really been able to trust an adult, to trust a child, how do you expect that dog to ever trust anybody? It's not going to trust everybody. So Lexi had to learn, and it didn't take me that long, but Lexi had to learn how to trust in any situation. She went through a period of time where she would shy away because everything was loud and shiny and a lot of movement. But then after maybe a couple of months, she had changed so completely that I was able to do more with her. You don't ever want to drag a dog and stick a leash on him and just drag him around and flails around because, you know, you may break his spirit. But I don't want to break any dog's spirit. I don't want to break them. They're not broken. They don't need to be fixed. What they do need is to learn trust, and they need to get a connection. Well, I had such a strong connection with Lexi that she just wanted to go everywhere with me. Even this morning when I was taking one of my dogs into the veterinarian, I turned around, and she's up in my car already. Well, she's little, so you don't always see her running past you. And she'll wait by the door, and she'll wait. She never does anything she's not supposed to. None of my dogs do. They're really, truly perfect. But Lexi loves to go with me, so I took her with me to the vet. And she does break dancing, and she does all these cool tricks. She does a play dead, but it's a really cool play dead. She does the little dances on the floor. She does amazing tricks. I can't even tell you all the cool things. I have never, ever given her a cookie. As a reward, she gets cookies because I love her and because she's a great dog, like my other guys are. But I don't give her a bribe and ask her, oh, okay, Lexi, do this and I'll give you a cookie. Do this and I'll do this for you. It's not about that. It's about teaching her what I expect of her, and not in a bad way, but in a really good way. I want to teach her to trust me that I will never have her do or put her in a position of being with anything that would hurt her or that would cause her to be fearful. And because of that incredible relationship, that bond and that trust that we have, which is, if you learn, and many people have already been through our course at United Canine Professionals, we'll be starting up our new class in a few weeks. Everybody should know this stuff. The more people and the more rescues and shelters who knew this kind of technique, how to do it and why to do it, and learning that it's okay. You don't have to use treats and rewards, and certainly please don't use anything harsh, like throwing things at your dog or shock collars or choker chains or prong collars. They're barbaric. I mean, I always say, and in my new book, you can read about it. It'll be available on our website. It's actually a big problem because people don't understand that, oh, well, yeah, I squirt my dog in the face with, you know, with the squirt bottle, or I use a shaker can with pennies in it, and it works. It makes my dog stop. Yes, but you're making your dog fearful. Why would you want to ever make a dog fearful, especially a dog who may already be fearful? Why would you want that dog to fear you and to be afraid of you? I would hope that you'd say, well, I don't want him to. So stop doing things that are wrong and that don't make sense to you. I can't tell you how many people I've spoken with and how many clients and rescues, and I work with the two largest rescues on the East Coast. One is one of the largest ones nationally. And we do a lot of symposiums and seminars for their volunteers because all you guys have to do is learn a few very simple techniques, the same things that I use for my own dog, the same techniques I use for Lexi. And a lot of it is built on trust and respect and a connection. So if you don't understand, and if you're, you know, somebody's a liar and a cheater and a scam artist or something, they're not going to understand trust and love and loyalty. But, you know, most dogs are really good. And most people are really good. There's only a few out there that aren't good. Same thing with dogs. So little Lexi, I gave her fun things to do. I let her be a part of my life, but I wasn't focused on her. See, the problem is, friends, that when you're focusing on what your dog is doing, then you're not providing for your dog's safety or protecting your dog and making sure that your dog is safe. Your dog will realize that you're not paying attention to him or her, and then he'll start saying, hey, where's the fun? Where's the carnival? Well, there's obviously no danger because my leader, my mentor, my mommy, my daddy, is the best in the world and would never let anything happen to me. And that feeling, that sense of security, that they know that they are safe in your hands, is what will set them free. It's what will rehabilitate them, and it is what will make them the most amazing dog in the world. And that's why I can do anything with Lexi, because Lexi trusts me and loves me as much or more than probably any of my other dogs, because I not only rescued her, but I also gave her stability that she needed. So now we can have fun. And I'm going to tell you about Lexi and Savannah's fun day yesterday. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all 4 paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And Lexi, oh, our little Lexi, we love her. She is just the best little dog in the world, and she really has absolutely no fears, no apprehensions. We do break dancing with her at the school. She entertains the children, does, at least probably 20 or 25 tricks, all kinds of different amazing things. She understands so many words. And I'm not saying that every dog has to be a Lexi and that every dog has to have this incredible job to do, but it's really amazing to see that if you give your heart to that dog, but give the dog rules, don't just let the dog run roughshod over you, you will see how amazing your dog will be. If your dog is fearful, if you're, you know, let's say you're drinking or you're, you know, doing some kind of things you shouldn't be doing, and you're getting angry, you're passive aggressive with people, you have behavioral issues yourself, well, how do you expect a dog to look at you as being stable? One of the fun things that I remember hearing all the time was, you know, when my husband, who was a big police captain in up and down the East Coast and actually started canine units all over, one of the go-to guys in the industry for 30 years, and he was actually the one who started all the units and used to run out to Kennedy Airport and LaGuardia and Newark when there were any kind of drugs coming in. I mean, he was the guy. Now he's retired, obviously. But one of the cool things about that was he used to bring dogs over from Europe, and he would bring them over. They were very expensive. They were between $50,000 and $100,000 back then. And these dogs were trained with commands, usually in Dutch. Now, imagine you're taking a dog from the plane. Dog does not speak English, okay? Does not understand English. And you're taking this 90-pound or 80-pound dog out of a cage, and this dog is a trained killer, okay? And the dogs that we used to get from overseas, they were incredible. They're not like anything trained in America. You would just have to be able to see. They didn't make mistakes. So now you take this dog, and how do you communicate with him? You don't speak Dutch. He doesn't speak English. And you've got this dog who's trained to kill people or attack people or, you know, go for the shoulder or go for the throat or whatever the handler is going to be teaching. Well, all of a sudden, you have to think a little bit deeper because you can't take that dog out and stare into his eyes and challenge him because he's going to take you out. Well, what's the better thing to do? Well, pretty obvious. You get a connection with that dog while he's in the cage. You learn about him in those maybe 2 hours in which you were driving home. And by the end of the trip, the dog trusted you already because, well, my husband was incredible. He is really incredible with dogs. And he would build up a big bond of trust with that dog on the way home so that he'd be able to just open that cage and take the dog out. And the dog would just, it was like he had that dog for his whole life. That's because of the energy. Energy is so important because if you are hyper, if you're in an angry mood, if you're not a nice person, you think your dog is going to be nice? Your dog is just going to mirror you. It's all it is. It's a mirror. Your dog is a mirror of you. So if you're an angry person, why are you worried and concerned about why your dog is acting that way? Of course your dog is acting that way. He's just going to be mirroring what's in your soul. So if you have like an bad day at work or you have an issue where whatever it is happens and you're really upset, well, do you think your dog's going to come up to you and say, oh, hi, Dad, you know, you're in a really crummy mood. You're throwing things around or you're, you know, being passive aggressive and I can feel that because I'm a dog. Well, he's going to stay away from you, and what you're going to do is destroy that dog's trust in you. Now, that doesn't mean you can never get it back, but I always say it's kind of like someone who cheats. It's not that, like, let's say your wife cheats on you, okay, or your girlfriend cheats on you, and, you know, you're a guy, you know, it hurts your feelings, and, you know, you don't want to believe it and whatever, okay, but how long does it take for you to get that back, to get that trust back, especially if it's something that goes on a long time? I know I've had a number of friends whose marriages have broken up because one of them was, you know, unfaithful to the other. And it's not that you'd stop loving the person, but I think maybe it's more of that feeling that I can't trust. I used to have that trust or that bond that I don't have anymore. It's really hard to get that back. Same thing with a dog. If your dog is acting out and your dog is scared of you because you're acting out and you're being angry or you're being frustrated or weak, and now all of a sudden you, for that day or two, you become very happy and upbeat, don't expect your dog to suddenly trust you and suddenly say, oh, okay, you're in a good mood. What's going to happen is it's almost more dangerous than when a dog is exposed to someone who's always in a bad mood. Because then the dog learns the normal. He learns, like, okay, that guy's, you know, my owner is always in a bad mood. And so that's kind of the normal. Like my good friend Temple Grandin always says, bad becoming normal. But if you have somebody who's unpredictable, somebody who's, especially we see it with families who, you have someone who's like passive aggressive or bipolar or any of the the other issues, or someone who's an alcoholic or who uses either prescription drugs or abuses, I should say, prescription drugs, you tend to see that the animals in their houses are very, very unpredictable, the same as the owners. So if you're one of those people who is, you know, very likely to get angry and throw things or, you know, do bad things, don't take it out on your dog, please, because your dog doesn't know any better. And what's going to happen is that eventually he's just going to lose trust in not just you, but he's going to lose trust in a lot of humans. And that's really a bad thing. And I believe that's what happened with Lexi. We did have, for a little while, somebody around who was not very stable. And we had a couple of dogs. They were awesome, little Ridgebacks. And these little Ridgebacks were just amazing. Now they're amazing. They're both placed as service dogs. But we had them for quite a while, and I couldn't figure out why they were still fearful. Well, sometimes negative energy is really bad for not only the people, but for the animals. We see that with children who are the victims of divorce. And I say victims of divorce because they did nothing to create that problem. Well, I think that dogs, although they might be a little more resilient than children, they still learn what they live. And we've all seen that phrase, children learn what they live. Well, dogs learn what they live. And if a dog is able to be in a stable, loving, calm, confident home where the people get along, that dog is going to really tend to be a better dog than, you know, than a dog who's in an environment where he can't trust. So it's very important. And as soon as the negative energy was gone, all of a sudden, these two dogs that had been there for years turned into the loving, just sweet, gentle, like just amazing animals with everyone, even with children. So there really is a lot to be said for keeping yourself in check and making sure that we're good to our animals, because they're so good to us. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Share the amazing stories of shelter dogs whose lives are changed by changing others.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Share the incredible process of shelter dogs whose lives are saved and are saving the lives of special needs children.
And welcome back to From Shelter Dog to Service Dog with Janice Wolf. And we're talking about how your energy can impact your dog's behavior, and it's so true. My new book, and everybody's so excited about it, as am I, my new book has some incredible things. It has some awesome things from my good friend, Dr. Temple Grandin. It has some amazing things from one of my most respectable, respected, incredible friends, Dr. Brian Boynick, who is contributing a section to it. And it's just a really cool book. It's not just about, you know, hey, this is about me, because who cares about, you know, you don't care about the author typically, unless it's Temple, because she's incredible. But you care about how to fix your dog and why. And I think that's been the thing that's been overriding in all things from some of our listeners, from people who follow Wyatt Ridgeback on Facebook. He's got so many friends, and he has his new Wyatt stuffed animal that will be out and ready this fall for sale for Christmas presents. I know everybody's been asking about that. But my new book, the reason it's so incredible is that it's teaching not just the what to do and how to fix it. It's really teaching you why. And it's not just teaching you why and saying, hey, this is what I think. It's actual physical, physiological, chemical reasons that things go on with your dog's behavior. And it's pretty amazing how the chemical receptors in your brain work. It's fascinating. Well, I've got, if you look up online, I've got a lot of degrees, and I graduated from Columbia University. One of my many degrees was a BA in biological science, concentration in animal behavior and genetics. So I've been into this my whole life. And what I find fascinating, and I think a lot of people do, is the why. Like, what happens in the brain that causes that fear response? What happens in the brain that causes that dog to be aggressive, but the other sibling to be totally fine? Why do some breeds of dogs have certain genetic tendencies? Not just, oh yeah, okay, pit bulls or Cane Corsos or Presa Canarias or whatever you want to say. Oh yeah, they're aggressive or they're dominant or whatever you want to think. But it's more importantly the chemical reasons, the physical and physiological reasons that things happen so you can understand. Because there are dogs out there that cannot be fixed. Not that many of them. There are not many of them. But there are dogs that do have some chemical issues. And anybody who discounts that is just, well, not very bright. Because you have to understand why the dog is doing what it's doing. And if a dog has chemical issues, and it does happen sometimes, it's not frequent, it's certainly not the frequency that people are prescribing drugs for these poor animals, but there definitely is, there are a large number of dogs, you know, nationally or internationally, maybe 1,000 dogs in the country at any given time, or more even, that do need a little bit of assistance calming down. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a proponent of medication. I'm not at all a proponent of medication. However, I am a proponent of medication when it needs to be done. It's the same thing if you can look at why a dog is fearful. Now, you can certainly try to, you can certainly try to figure that, okay, we're just going to lock the dog in a crate and we're going to keep him away so that people aren't going to be able to get bitten by my dog. Let's find out why. Why is your dog being aggressive in the first place? Why exactly is the dog doing what he's doing? Well, heck, if you don't know why he's doing it, how do you expect him to figure out how to fix it? So my new book will definitely have a bit on that, and it will also include other things like physical things that create behavioral issues. Yes, there are some. So you can't just discount it and be silly about it and nonchalant and joke your way out of things if you don't know. Find out why. I do. That's why all my students through the years have always nicknamed me the Encyclopedia Janice. And the kids would call me. I remember even being in St. Martin at my property there. And the kids calling and saying, I have a question. And I would say to them, okay, what's the question? And they would ask me and I would answer them. And it was pretty rare that I wouldn't know. But sometimes they would ask me these amazing questions. 10-year-old kids are pretty inquisitive and pretty smart. And I remember the one little girl was so excited. She says, oh, I found something you don't know. I said, I don't know, but I'm going to look it up, and then I'm going to get back to you. And, you know, it was before the, you could just pop on your smartphone and get anything at any time. But this little girl was so excited, and she said, well, you know, now I know you don't know everything. And I said, of course I don't know everything. You know, not anybody in the whole world knows everything about everything. And like I always say, if you think you know everything, it proves you know nothing. So it's not about pretending to know things. It's about if you don't know, look it up. And don't just look it up in one source. Find out from multiple trustworthy sources. Find out where people are, what they're doing, how they know. We just did this in class yesterday at the school. Think versus know. It's one of my main exercises that's going to be included in my other book, the one that my friend Temple Grandin's kind of forcing me to do, which is all my different therapies I do with the children. And one of them is called Think versus Know. if you say, oh, yeah, I have, I know that, I want you to think about for a moment, how do you know? Where did you hear it? Who in some kind of executive position told you that? Did you check it out? Have you seen it to be true in many cases? Or do you think you know it? And what you'll find in life is most people don't know it, but they think they know it. And that's why sometimes things don't work. And it, like I said, nobody in the whole world knows everything about everything. And it's okay not to know. It's just not okay to tell people that you do know when you don't know. And that's going to be a really, really important aspect of making sure that you do the right thing with dogs, that you do the right thing with service dogs, that you do the right thing with children, that you do the right thing with your friends, that you do the right thing because you do the right thing, because that's how you are. And it's so important because I've seen so many wonderful dogs ruined because people didn't know. And if I hear one more person say, oh, well, you know what they say, or, oh, my, oh, somebody who's a friend of my friend told me, well, you know what? That's ridiculous, because if you don't know, remember, think versus know, if you don't know how to do something and you think you know, instead of charging somebody for it or instead of even volunteering that information that may not be true, close your mouth, open your ears, and find out if it's true or not. Because a lot of times you'll see people who are, just pretending that they know things that they don't know. And I see that even in the school with the kids, with the special needs kids, and I've certainly seen it with adults, where they don't know, but they don't want to appear that they don't know. So they lie about it or they fabricate it. And, you know, we all know people like that who, you know, who are just not really trustworthy. And it's okay, but it's not okay to ruin a dog or to harm a child because you don't know. So if you're not sure how to do something, talk it over. Find out who does know, and then you can do the right thing for the right reason. And unfortunately, we are all out of time today. I'm going to go and look at my new farm. So I'm very excited right now. I'm going to take a few of my awesome dogs with me, including little Lexapro. And I wish everybody an amazing, amazing week. Stay cool as much as you can. It's pretty hot out there. Drink a lot of liquids. Remember to bring liquids with you for your dog. Don't forget to bring a container and some nice cool water if you go anywhere with your dog so that your dog is safe. Don't leave your dog unattended in a car. Even if you have your car running, make sure that obviously the air conditioning is on, and make sure you check on the car so that in case you ran out of gas or something happens, your dog isn't toasting in a hot car. Next week, we hope to have our favorite rescue group as our guests again. We are so excited. We love when they come on. And we wish you a wonderful week. Have a great, happy, healthy week, and enjoy yourself and your dog.
Learn how to teach your dog how to be a service dog